Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, the sixth chapter. Proverbs 6. Good to see everyone here this evening. I do appreciate the kind remarks and words of encouragement that people have given me about my upcoming trip to Ethiopia, I hope to be able to do some good there, and I appreciate the kind thoughts that people have given me toward that end. So I'll miss you all, and I appreciate the fact that some of you have indicated that you'll miss me. So please keep me in your thoughts and prayers. When you were younger, did you ever have your parents say, get that smirk off your face? You know what I'm talking about. And you weren't aware that you had a smirk on your face. In fact, you weren't quite sure what a smirk was. You better get that smirk off your face, or I'm gonna slap it off your face. You know what I'm talking about. You'd look there and you'd try to look as humble as you knew how. You may not be particularly pleased with the situation, but you tried to look humble, and they'd say, you better change your attitude, young man. But yet somehow it usually devolved into a situation where you got punished. You weren't aware of any smile on your face. You weren't aware of any smirk on your face. You weren't aware of anything. You thought you were doing the best you could to put on a mask to where none of your inner feelings were going out. Even though you were smirking on the inside, you were doing your best to make sure that there was no smirk coming outside. Yet, I think it was your eyes that were giving you away. It's interesting to me that in the sixth chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verses 16 and 17, the Lord indicates that he has the very same problem that your mom and daddy may have had with you. There are six things that the Lord hates, even seven that are an abomination to him. Notice what's at the top of the list: haughty eyes. Your translation may say a proud look. That's what gave you away. Your mouth may not have even been smirking. It was those eyes. Ladies, you may have even been rolling those eyes just slightly. But it was a proud look. Haughty eyes, eyes that showed that you were somehow proud in your demeanor. But you think, well, what's the big deal? Well, what's interesting to me about that is, if you have your Bibles open, notice what it also is associated with in the mind of God in reference to the things that he hates. He also hates a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. A prideful look is something that the Lord hates, just like he hates hands that shed innocent blood, just like he hates someone who stirs up strife among brothers. Isn't that amazing? I don't think I knew exactly what a smirk was until I had children, and I've seen that very same look on their faces. To where they were obedient on the outside, but on the inside, you could tell just in that proud look a few times, not many times, that they thought you were absolutely nuts and were trying to keep it all in. Pride must be a pretty terrible thing if the Lord hates even the slightest physical manifestation of it in human beings. The look that's haughty, the look that's proud, the indication on the part of somebody that they think above their station, that they think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. It's something that the Lord recognizes as being something that is terribly dangerous in the behavior of people who he wants to be his children. In the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and verse 5, it says, "Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished." Have you ever known anybody who was proud? You know, we've all known people who we talk about, well, you know, that person's got a lot of pride. Boy, their problem is they're just too proud. Well, sometimes we've thought of it as a little aggravating, I'm afraid. It's frustrating. As a minor character flaw, perhaps, like some sort of a personal tic. But have you ever really thought of it as being something that the Lord hated? Something that was an abomination to the Lord for a human being to actually be proud in their heart. To think of themselves more highly than they ought to think about themselves. We really ought to think about it that way. Because as human beings, as people created in the image of God, yet as people who, because of sin, have fallen into a situation in which we deserve absolutely no consideration from the Almighty, we are people who have absolutely nothing to be proud of. Yet there are people who are proud of all kinds of things. There are people who are proud of their looks. But isn't that interesting? Usually that's some sort of genetic piece of luck. You know, almost anybody can look better if you snazz them up a little bit. You ever seen these makeovers? My wife sometimes likes to watch a show in which they're doing a makeover on somebody, and they'll take somebody who looks rather plain and they'll make them over, put new clothes on them, make them up, cut their hair, and they'll look completely different when all is said and done. Which has shown me you can pretty well make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. I think I've seen a few sow's ears that it would have really taken an awful lot to make into a silk purse. But everybody can be made to look better under the right circumstances. But what do you have to be proud of because you're good looking? It generally was because you probably were genetically blessed. And let me tell you, no matter how good looking you are, it's going to reach its zenith one day and you're going to get less good looking by the year. I hate to tell you that. To the point where actually, there were people who thought I was good looking at one time. Hate to discourage you. Could turn out like me. There are people who think that if you have a great deal of athletic ability, you can be proud of that. But again, that's becoming more and more a situation in which you really need to be genetically blessed. You know, when you're 5'2 and you want to be in the NBA, you better be some kind of a dribbler and some kind of a shooter to be able to have any chance of it. And even then, you've got two chances, slim and none. What do you have to be proud of? Did strength? Yeah, I guess you can increase your strength a good bit. But again, so many things that we have are developed because of a combination of genetics and sometimes hard work, but sometimes a lot of good luck too. And very often, human beings will find the strangest things to be proud of. What about intelligence? Some of the most intelligent people I've known have been people who didn't have the benefit of a good education. And if you do have the benefit of a good education, you need to be thankful for it, not necessarily proud of it. Because let me tell you, there's many people who would have liked to have been in the shoes that you're in. But just for one reason or another, weren't able to find the opportunities to be able to be educated as well as you are. I had a very well-educated grandfather for his time, who finished eighth grade. I think he could run rings around me in terms of mathematics. He did all kinds of things that he could, in his head, all kinds of mathematical problems. Real well educated. Good speller. I think he did about as well as an eighth grade education could do a person. But that's as far as you could go reasonably in his day and time, in his place of abode. My grandmother had to move away from home to go to college, to go to high school, actually. Wanted to go to college, didn't have the opportunity. This was my other grandmother. She had a husband with a sixth grade education and a grandfather and a father with a second grade education. And they couldn't see why a woman would need all that education. She wanted to be a teacher. Go to the University of North Texas. Never happened. She was a smart lady, just not having the opportunity. So next time you get proud about the education that you've received, I'd want you to realize that you stand on the shoulders of giants who maybe made it possible for you to be able to stand where you stand. Even that junior high and high school education that you take for granted is something that a lot of people would have given their eye teeth to be able to receive. Do you realize there's people who would have loved to have been able to have a Bible? Do you realize there's people who have died to make it possible for you to be able to read this in English? Lots of people died smuggling this book translated back into England or Scotland so that you could be able to have a chance to have it spread and read when it first was being translated into English. People would have loved to have had an opportunity to be able to have access to one, much less own one. And yet we have people now, probably every one of you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, come talk to me after service. I'll get you one. No reason to be proud. Pride is an abomination to the Lord. But you know, there's all kinds of pride today. People too proud to do what God tells them to do. People too proud to be willing to get over what some brother said to them 15 years ago. People too proud to worship with a group of brethren that actually may not have any ability to help them in their business. There's all kinds of pride. Do you know, maybe that's why it's an abomination to the Lord. Because it winds up taking people with no reason at all to exalt themselves. And it puts them in a position that just makes us look ridiculous before God and his angels. In the 101st Psalm, in verse 5, it says, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure." The Lord doesn't suffer fools. And one of those who's the most foolish is the person who's proud, who's going to take themselves so seriously that they're going to be proud and not let anything get over on them. Let me tell you, who are you? After all, when it comes down to it, we're just, those of us who are Christians are just people who were sinners who have been saved by grace. What credential does that give us to exalt ourselves and beat our chests and be proud before anybody? None of us ought to be too proud to do anything in the Lord's kingdom, or too proud to serve in any capacity in the Lord's service. The Lord won't endure it. It's no wonder that it is the kind of thing that is hard for us to endure either. The world likes proud people in a lot of ways. In fact, it exalts the proud. More and more you see an ethic existing in the media, especially of people who are the rich and the famous. People who are celebrities without any other talent at all, being exalted before us as the kind of people that we really ought to strive to be, apparently. Exalted, every movement they make is touted. Do you believe how much press Charlie Sheen has gotten? Why would I care what he thought about anything? Here's a fella who doesn't know how to control his mouth, doesn't know how to control his substance abuse. Here's a fella who has no moral compass at all, best I can tell. Why would I want to know what he says or thinks about any issue? And every news media has had something to say about what Charlie Sheen says or does every day. Stop it! I'm tired of him. But you see, we live in a society that somehow wants to know what these people are doing. Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a society that was concerned about what the righteous were doing instead of what the proud were doing? Let me tell you, Charlie Sheen's not winning. It's almost pitiful to watch how bad he's losing. We need to recognize very, very clearly that in this situation, we're talking about that the Lord doesn't endure fools. And Christians ought not to either. In the 138th Psalm, in verse 6, it says, "For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar." There's a notice, he pays attention to both groups of people. He has regard for the lowly, those that nobody else pays attention to. But you know, the haughty, he's got his eye on them too. The proud, because he has them marked for destruction, because he's got their number. People who put themselves in God's place, yep, he knows exactly who they are and what they deserve. You remember we talked last week a little bit about the pride of life, the boastful pride of life, one of the great sins involved in the human condition. Kind of sin that was used in the Garden of Eden, the kind of sin that was used to try to make Jesus jump off the pinnacle of the temple. After all, I dare you, you won't do it. How often our pride gets the best of us and makes us want to do something because, after all, we think our pride has been challenged. What we need to do is not bite. If we could get to the point where we are so humble that we don't let pride stand in our way of just being simple Christians, then we can get the boastful pride of life under control. If we could have Jesus out there always in our sights, then whatever people say about us isn't going to bring up that kind of response that makes us want to fight for our sense of honor. But it's going to make us recognize that, listen, Jesus laid down his life for me. I don't have anything to fight about for me. Jesus already laid down his life for me. I'm not going to do anything to besmirch his name. Remember, we talked several weeks ago about the problem of Uzziah, the king of Judah. He was a good king. The scriptures say he was a good king. But do you remember how he entered the temple and offered incense on the altar of incense? He did it because he was proud. After all, I'm king of Judah. Why can't I do this? All the other kings of the nations round about are priests to their God. When the priest stood in his way, he didn't allow himself to be reproved and corrected. It simply angered him. And while he was there, leprosy broke out on him. And he began to pay the penalty for his pride. And the Lord humbled him by making him a leper to the day of his death, exiled from his family, exiled in effect from his nation. His son became regent in his stead. Because here you see, as it says in James, the 4th chapter in verse 6, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. One thing God just can't stand is pride. And it shows itself not only in that case, but time and time and time and time again in Scripture. The opposite of that, though, is what God does expect of us. Not the attitude that would take our rightful place in the universe and blow it up, but our rightful place in the universe as people who are sinners saved by grace and see ourselves in the right position. As people who have been torn down by sin, but who have been exalted through what Christ has done for us in the cross. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul tells the Ephesian brethren, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Isn't it interesting how he ties together the unity of the brethren with the beginning of the idea of humility and gentleness? You need to begin with the idea of walking in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with humility and gentleness. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from. Remember what you used to be. Remember who has lifted you up. And then with humility and gentleness toward one another, show tolerance, patience, love for one another, and do everything that you can to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Isn't the Lord worth that? Wasn't your redemption worth that? No amount of false pride that you can have is worth tearing a congregation apart simply because you got your feelings hurt over a situation that the Lord should have gotten rid of your pride a long time ago. If you truly understand what was done for you. Look at the example that we have that should guide us. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 8. Again, the Apostle Paul tells the Philippian brethren in verse 5 beginning, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." There's our model. When I have a Lord that was willing to face the cross for me, someone who had no reason for humility, and yet was humble for me, why couldn't I, who have no reason for pride, be humble for him? Doesn't that make sense? Why can't I follow the example of humility in Jesus, who was willing to give it all up to be obedient to the Lord and shed all pride so that he could accomplish the mission that God gave him? Why don't you do that tonight? What pride is standing in your way of being obedient to the Lord? Let me tell you, if it is standing in your way of being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is indeed foolish pride. Please come in faith, showing your faith in repentance, confessing your faith by saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and finally exhibiting your faith by working it out and being baptized so that you can become a child of God, in allowing us to baptize you in the watery grave of baptism. If you as a child of God have allowed pride to stand between you and what God has in store for those that love him, let me tell you, it's foolish pride. Don't allow something that you should have given up a long time ago to creep up in your life once again and make it so that you're at the last minute losing out on what God wants to give you. Think about these things. There's no reason for you to hold on to pride, which you have no reason for. And in doing so, lose out on what the Lord has in store for those that love Him. Think about it, and if we can help anyone as they make things right with the Lord this evening, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.